I invite Laura to come and share the gospel reading.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowd heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate, and all were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
The feeding of the 5,000. It's a very, very familiar story to most of us. We know it's a story about Jesus feeding poor and hungry people. We know there's a feeding ministry just across DeWitt Park called Loaves and Fishes, obviously based on this story. This story was so important, so central to the first Christians, the first disciples' understanding of Jesus. It appears in all 4 Gospels, and it's the only miracle story that does appear in all 4. They all tell this story, but each in their own way, placing it in a different place in their narrative. And here in Matthew's Gospel, it comes at a time of threat, because Jesus had just learned about John the Baptist's death. That reference, when Jesus heard this, that's the this. He had just heard that John the Baptist had been executed by Herod. John had been arrested by Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, because John had dared to criticize Herod for taking as his own wife his brother's wife. Her name was Herodias. In rage, Herod threw John in jail for daring to criticize him, but he was afraid to kill him because he was so popular with the people. Until, you know the story, at a party of all his friends, when probably they'd all had way too much to drink, Herodias' daughter, a young woman, Salome, danced for Herod and his friends, and she did so well, and he was so pleased that he promised he'd give her anything she asked. She consulted with her mother and came back and said, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And of course, Herod was too embarrassed, too proud to be undone in front of his friends. So he had John the Baptist executed. It's a story of adultery, vanity, ego. What a glimpse into a corrupt leadership and their family dysfunctions and political drama. But that's not stuff just reserved for that day and time, is it? In this case, as in so many other cases of corrupt leadership, Herod's pride and ego and failings led to the death of a righteous man of God, a great prophet, John the Baptist, God's messenger who was destroyed because of their petty rivalries and infidelities, their egos. So in Matthew's telling of the feeding of the 5,000, this is what Jesus has just learned has happened. And he tries to go away with his close disciples to a deserted place to pray, to think, to grieve, and to ponder what this now means in terms of a threat to him and his ministry. But the crowds saw him in the boat crossing the lake, and they run around on the shoreline. So when he gets there, there is a huge crowd waiting for him, longing to see and hear him. It strikes me reading it this week that they too had just learned of the death of John the Baptist. And many of them had probably gone out to hear John, been baptized by John, hoped that John's teaching and preaching, John's baptisms meant that the Messiah was finally coming, that God was finally going to act, and now John was dead. Jesus went across the lake hoping for quiet and was met by this huge crowd. But he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost, confused, frightened, hurting. And so he gave himself again to spending the day teaching, healing. And then when the day comes to an end, his disciples come to him in concern, saying, "It's getting late. There's no food, no villages around here close. You need to send these folks away. They need to go find food." And Jesus turns it back on them. Only John's gospel has the small boy with the basket, but the quantity of food they can come up with is the same, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Matthew's telling focuses it on the disciples. Jesus is saying, no, they don't have to go away. You can do something about this. You're not helpless. You're not powerless. What do you have? And they said, "We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Are you kidding?" And Jesus took what they had, told the crowd to sit down, get organized. I can just picture them settling on the grass, looking at him expectant. All right, what's happening now? And he took that little lunch, dinner, and he held it up to God, and he blessed it, thanking God for it, and he just started breaking it and handing it out. We can't quite imagine how that happened. And yet it was an event so powerful that every gospel writer tells it, that it is central to their understanding of who Jesus was. A man with compassion, a man who understood human hunger as well as spiritual hunger and responded with grace and abundance, and somehow there was enough. It wasn't a feast, not rich or extravagant, but it was the basics of what every peasant's meal held. Bread, the stuff of life in the Middle East, the essential fish to eat. This is a story that echoes so many other biblical stories, doesn't it? Bread in a deserted place. Manna in the wilderness for those Israelites wandering those many years trying to find the promised land. Bread broken and shared by Jesus on that last night as he faced his own dying, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body broken for you." Those first resurrection stories, how many of them are around food? The two on the road to Emmaus who invite him into their home, this stranger who had been speaking to them, and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread and knew it was Jesus. Those other appearances in the upper rooms where Jesus takes the fish and eats in front of them to show he's not a ghost. His last appearance in John's gospel where he shared fish on a beach breakfast after they'd been fishing all night. In every gathering where we as Christian people have met together and received the bread and drink the cup, and every time we say the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." This story of the feeding of the 5,000 resonates with all those stories, all these essential stories of our faith. God provides. God gives us what we need. Even in the wilderness, when we're hungry and far from home, God sees our need. God knows when we feel like sheep without a shepherd, and God's response is always compassion, healing, and a peace that passes our understanding. Peace in the middle of struggle and trial. Peace in the face of threat, in the face of evil and even death. When the powers of the world threaten to undo us, when we're afraid and confused and grieving, Jesus shows us God's abundant grace. Jesus shows us the way time and time again. He asks us, "What do you have?" He invites us to trust what little we have can be enough. He tells us to take what seems inadequate, insufficient, when we feel like there's no way we can possibly respond to the troubles in our lives and in our world. Jesus shows us the way forward. Take what you have and give thanks. Lift it up to God and bless it, and then start giving what you can. Trust God to do the multiplying. Trust God with the outcome. Trust God with the results. That's not up to us to determine. Our work is to keep being faithful. Keep trusting God and give what we have. And then watch and see what God will do.